Hello, this is HMO correspondent Erica Dulcinea Diggs for the Meteor Sanctuary, and today I'm speaking with retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson for his show, As the World Turns. This is the first episode of 2021. To hear any previous conversations, please go to soundcloud.com/Meteor Sanctuary. Hello, Mr. Johnson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I just dug out from the big snowstorm, and my back's okay.
Oh, gosh, definitely. Okay, so let's get started. 2020 is clearly in our rearview mirror. Any insight on the year for us locally, regional, wide, and as a planet?
Well, Erica, yes, 2020 was an amazing year. We had, of course, the political upheaval. We had coronavirus, but weather definitely was right up there with those two. It was our second hottest year on record. I think one calculation had it tied with 2016, but that alone is amazing because it was a La Nina year. The sunspot minimum, things like that should have all made it a little cooler. But in 2016, we had a very powerful El Nino. So that should have been a much warmer year based on that. But so it was a very warm year, very stormy year. We had 28 hurricanes, which was the most ever in a calendar year. Had 5 years in a row of category five, was at least one category five hurricane. That's never happened before. And then, of course, we had the wildfires, not only in California, where over 4 million acres were burned, about the size of Connecticut, bigger than the size of Connecticut, but in the country as a whole, 10 million. And I believe the year before, they only had half that burned. And that's almost the size of West Virginia. Imagine that, West Virginia being burned out, just mind-boggling. And of course, we had all kinds of other crazy storms and things like that. In our county warning area of New York, the National Weather Service, Albany's county warning area, 14 tornadoes, which was a record. Now, most of them were small, but there were a couple that had longer tracks and caused some significant damage. So it was a crazy year. There's no doubt about it. I could go on and on, but yeah, there's definitely climatic stuff going on that definitely indicates that we're out of sync right now.
Okay, and how is your winter prediction working out?
Well, not perfectly, by sure, but I will give myself a little pat on the back. You know, January ended up a little bit above normal, but that said, I'm going to talk about one more time that thermometer at the airport still not reading right. It's still reading too cold, so it probably was actually a little milder than that. I was about 3 degrees above normal, but, and this is the big but, I did think that we would have a collapse of the polar vortex last year, stayed tight, strong, and kept cold air away most of the winter. We got a little seepage in April. This year, it collapsed in January. Now, after it first collapsed, though, it didn't get that cold. It was kind of almost scary because we still weren't that cold. But what's happening is finally some of the cold air from Russia has eked over across into our neck of the woods. And now we're going to pay the, you know, the piper, and we're going to get a lot colder. And we already have. And, you know, we've got a big snowstorm, and there might be a couple more coming on the way, and then the cold weather. So it finally happened, but it took a while. It really took almost the end of January. It was a little later than I thought, but it is happening, and it's going to linger into February now. So everything's pushed back a few weeks. So I still think we want to look further into the spring and summer. Summer, I'm not really going to get into a real detailed forecast, obviously, but I think spring, we might this year, might have a little milder start this spring, unlike last year, which was cold to start, and then it took a while to warm up. It might start milder. Of course, that might mean it get cooler later on, but I think we're going to really have a, you know, at least an easier transition into spring this year. But before that happens, we're going to have a couple of rough weeks there. Well, I think that we're going to flush out the cold air in the next couple of weeks. And now, again, when I say starts out mild, it doesn't mean we can't get a quick setback or a snowstorm. That can happen even in a milder regime. We could have a sudden onslaught of cold and stormy weather and get ourselves a rogue snowstorm. I remember in 2000, we were 76 on Saturday, and we had a near blizzard on Sunday, and then 3 days later, it was gone again. So I'm not going to, you know, never rule out that rogue snowstorm, even for late March or April. But I'm just thinking it'll behave a little differently from last year based on the fact that this winter is now different from last winter. It's colder now.
Definitely. Okay, and so do you feel with the new administration we'll be able to finally combat global warming?
Well, I think it's definitely a lot better chance to. Biden has come out right away, hitting the ground running. I'm impressed. He's stopping the oil and the Keystone Pipeline, at least temporarily. He is also, we got right back into the Paris Accord, which was humiliating that we got out of. We probably won't be the leaders anymore, at least for a while, because of what we did, but we at least were back in. He's considering a crisis. The climate is a crisis. He's looking at it as one of the top major things he has to combat, along with, of course, the coronavirus and some other stuff. But, you know, I think it's all good. I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if it's, but, you know, at least it's a start. It's definitely working in the right direction. And I feel much better. That the other important thing is that he has also vowed, and I think GM has too, to have no more carbon emission vehicles, you know, cars by 2035, which is 14 years away. Now, you know, it might seem long to you, but for me, it doesn't, because I'm an old person and I've been around longer. 14 years could come very fast. has. So that's a huge, huge goal, and it'd be great if we could achieve that. Now, what I'd like to see is, and I think it will happen, but, you know, of course, it's going to be hard with the Congress and everything, but the infrastructure, I'd like to see a much ramped up, improved train system. You know, in Europe, they have trains that can go 300 kilometers an hour. In Japan, they got the Nagasaki Bullet or whatever that can go 300 miles an hour. We have the technology to do it. I mean, it's just basically just share and, you know, work with other people that work across the table and improve that, you know, so we don't have to put the planes. We have trains for a lot cleaner and a lot less carbon footprint than planes. I think we can all agree on that. And I'd like to see a better diet road plan in that we have roads that are built so that it can also include people who bike and walk, especially in cities, not so much country areas, but city. I mean, we're doing a little bit of that in Albany, but maybe not enough. But New York City is better than we are. They're doing it a lot more down there. So you have roads where you have bike separate lanes and a lot of times are protected, that kind of thing. Because there are people that will bike if they feel like they're protected from the cars. And of course, around here, we can't bike all year, but we can bike 6 months of the year. So again, these are things that, you know, I think with time, with any luck at all, we could get this going too. But of course, we have a very fragile edge over the opposition, and that could change in a heartbeat. So it's going to be interesting to see. But we're running out of time. We don't have a whole lot of time to mess around with Mother Nature.
Now, what would an improved train system do for America?
I think it would cut back a lot more of carbon emissions. It's all about the carbon emission and having less of it. And it would be, you know, like, for instance, if you can get a train that goes from Washington to Boston in under 4 hours, you know, straight through, I think that would really, you know, stop people from flying. I mean, a lot less from Washington to Boston. It's not going to, you know, from coast to coast, you're still going to have a lot of, you know, big country. But the Northeast corridor, especially, if you could really improve the speed and the efficiency of trains and out to Chicago. I mean, you can take the train to Chicago from here, but it takes all night, take 14 hours. Imagine if it was going 300 miles an hour, you could cut that down to like 6 hours. I mean, you know, do the math. Of course, you'd be stopping along the way, but you could really, you know, improve the efficiency of travel. You know, that's what they do in Europe, and I really believe that's part of it. I mean, a little part of it, you know, electric cars is huge. I'm hoping that my next car is electric. I don't plan on buying one for a while. I'm really hoping that I get a nice, affordable one. So, again, carbon footprint's not going away zero, but it goes down, and every little bit that goes down helps the cause.
How will measures to cut carbon emissions affect my life in terms of cost?
Oh, that's a tough one, Eric. I really don't have a clear answer for that. What I can tell you, though, that there's always growing pains, and that's what, I mean, we're going to see a little bit of that. For instance, a lot of people said the price of gas is already going up. It was gone before Biden was even sworn in. So, but I've noticed it, 30 cents or more, you probably have too. It's probably going to go up a bit more. I don't think it will go up, hopefully, like what it did under Bush in the early days of the Obama administration, where it was $4 or more, but it might. You're going to see, because we're going to go through that transition, there's going to be a rough patch in there. So there could be some rough patches until we transition over to a cleaner efficiency. But, you know, I think if we do it right, if we do it incrementally, we can do it without causing too much harm and pain. But, you know, there's going to be some rough patches before it gets better. Of course, the oil and gas companies, not totally. Some people are actually on board with the idea. But, of course, obviously, they want to make money. They don't want to see oil and gas go away. It's going to take a while, but I think you're going to see some growing pain. So I can't answer the question, but, you know, it's not going to be a smooth transition.
Okay, and will the remedies to climate change be worse than a disease or a pandemic? And will it cause more people to go into poverty?
Oh, I think it could. Again, we don't know what the next pandemic will be. I mean, this is bad enough. I mean, imagine we had Ebola. If we had that going the way the coronavirus does, you know, with a death rate of like 50% or something, well, we won't even go there. But there's no question at some point climate change, it already has caused a lot of problems, like in Africa and in poor countries. And even in this country, it's hurt the lower class. Absolutely. With the weather extremes, I mean, you get these horrible storms, and who gets left out in the cold? It's the poor. When they had the horrible rains in Houston and things, and look at what happened in Puerto Rico. I mean, those people were probably still suffering from what happened with Maria. Absolutely disgrace what happened, but it is going to eventually trump everything else we know if we just do not do something about it. I mean, every year we're seeing more extremes happening. You know, we had last year with the fires and the hurricanes, and it could be something else this year. It could be snow. I don't know. But we're going to see more and more extremes, and it's going to eventually be worse than any pandemic. That's my opinion.
How soon could you possibly see that happening?
Oh, gosh. You know, it could be in the next decade. I mean, basically, the people, the experts, the power to be, are saying that we have about 10 years to get it right, to get Connecticut. Again, one of the things we're looking at is a gradual warming of the Earth. If we reach a point of 8 degrees above where we were back in 1970, we could go extinct. I mean, I'm not saying that we would, but we could. We're a long way from that, but if we melt the ice off in the Arctic, we could really start accelerating that number in a hurry, and we're getting closer and closer. So basically, I would say anywhere from 10 to 20 years. Let's put it this way. My generation, the baby boomers, will probably make it to the finish line or grave or whatever you want to call it without a major impact, but your generation will definitely be in peril. So I say, you know, we really need to act on this quicker than later. And thank God, I don't want to talk political, but I'm thank God the current president got in. And of course, we all know what happened on January 6th. And this battle is long from over, but at least for now, we got in there. We have a chance to do something. Let's do it while we can.
What were your thoughts on what transpired at the Capitol on January 6th?
It was probably one of the saddest days of my life. I was alive when Kennedy was shot. Of course, I remember 9-1-1, although I slept through it because I worked at midnight before. In some ways, one of the darkest days we've ever had in our country. And I was telling my wife, I was hoping if we had a blizzard that day, we could have shut this thing down. But it was chilly, but it was in the 40s. It wasn't even that cold here that day. I went out there. I remember it was like in the high 30s. So the weather didn't really factor in. But it was just a very sad day, and it never should have happened. We're getting away from climate. But, you know, we're still investigating all the things that have went wrong that day. And it was a lot. It was like the perfect storm of things that went wrong. You want to put a climatological twist on.
Mr. Johnson, well, it looks like we're out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Always you too, Erica. Have a good day.
You as well, Mr. Johnson. Well, this has been Erica Dick for the Media Sanctuary, and I spoke with Hugh Johnson, and we spoke about weather and climate change.